And the second lesson is from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, the story of the first resurrection day. Listen again to God's word. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here is this unexpectedly empty tomb, and it reminds us that God shatters all of our worldly expectations in the life and death of Jesus Christ. With the women, we go to the tomb on that first day of the week, early in the morning, looking for death, looking for a body to care for. But instead, we find life. We go looking for more sadness, but instead we find indescribable joy. We go with fear. We are greeted with good news. Today we hear and read and know the account of Christ's resurrection through the lens of history. We already know what is going to happen when the women go to Jesus' tomb on that first day of the week after his crucifixion. We already know that when they arrive, these faithful women will find an empty tomb and folded grave clothes and defiant angels announcing life and a risen Lord. But this news no longer terrifies us like it did the women who first heard it. It's almost as if we have become inured to the resurrection, used to its annual springtime celebration. So today I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that you're hearing this story for the first time, and I realize that for many of you that might be difficult, especially if you have heard this story time and time and time again your whole life long. But bear with me. Imagine you are hearing this story for the first time. Imagine that you are walking with these women. Imagine that the last time you saw Jesus, it was his limp, lifeless body that was being taken down from the cross and then wrapped in a linen shroud before it was placed in a borrowed tomb. Imagine how the events of the past few hours and days keep replaying over and over and over again in your mind. The nails and the crown of thorns, the cries of pain and thirst and abandonment ringing in your ears. Now imagine it is early morning on the first day of the week and dawn is breaking and you're going to the tomb to finish the work that you didn't have time to do on Friday, as the sun was setting. Imagine for a moment that this is the first time you've heard this story. I think it's hard for us to wonder what the women were thinking and feeling and experiencing as they walked along. Were they talking? Were they silent? Were they crying? Maybe they weren't saying anything, still lost in their grief. Imagine their expectations of what they will find. The women go to the tomb early in the morning, and they are looking for death. The whole purpose of their visit to the tomb in the first place is to anoint Jesus' body with burial spices, to finish the work that they had been unable to do on Friday as the sun was setting and the Sabbath was beginning. Their expectation is that nothing has really changed since Friday. The stone will still be there covering the tomb. Jesus' body will still be inside. Their hopes and their dreams will still be dashed. The women go looking for death, but that is not what they find. Instead, they are greeted by an empty tomb. The stone is rolled away. Jesus' body is not there. And an angel announces good news, strange news. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. The text says that at that point, the women remembered. It's just a little short line, and then the women remembered. That's the part of the resurrection that always gets me. Even though Jesus had told his followers multiple times what was going to happen, that he was going to die and rise again, they all forgot. Their expectations were for death and for sorrow. But then they remembered. Then they remembered Jesus' words and the promise that he made to them. And suddenly, the women realize that their expectations are all wrong. They've come looking for death, but instead God has given life. We all deal with managing expectations in life. There are big expectations and there are small expectations, and we all manage them in different ways. There are big ones like family and friends and home and work and countless others that you could probably think of. We have to deal with these expectations, and we have certain expectations that are placed on us by others. You came here this morning expecting to hear a sermon about Jesus' resurrection, because today is Easter. It's not Christmas, it's not Thanksgiving, it's not some other random Sunday, it's Easter. And that is your expectation. I'm guessing you also came with the expectation that the sermon wouldn't go on for hours and hours and hours. And it's not, maybe just one, no. We are Presbyterian. My question, though, for you this glorious resurrection morning, when we were expecting rain and clouds and dreariness, but we got sun instead, my question for you this glorious resurrection morning is the same question that the angel asked those women so many centuries ago. What are you looking for? What are your expectations? Are you looking for death or are you looking for life? Are you looking for the living God who created you and who loves you? Or are you looking for something else? Are you looking for what is good in this world, or are you looking for what is bad? There's a line in an old Disney movie that goes something like this: when you look for the bad in people expecting to find it, you surely will. And I think we've all been there. It's easy to look for and to see the bad. We don't always go out looking, searching, hoping for life. But Paul writes, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Look for these things. Search for these things, these good things. In other words, if you look for the good, you will surely find it. The more I read and think and study and pray, the more I become convinced that God is in the business of confounding our expectations. We humans tend to set the bar pretty low. We go looking for death, but life is on the loose. Most of us do a good job managing our expectations. We almost always find what we're looking for. But then in the early morning, we go out looking for death, and God reveals life. We go to the tomb expecting to find a body, but instead, it's empty. Just some old wadded-up grave clothes left behind. And the living Christ, whom God has raised from the dead, he meets us. We go looking for the bad, expecting to find it, and often we're not disappointed, but then God does something like raising the dead, and he totally confounds our expectations. It's times like this, like Easter Sunday, when we must stop and look and listen and discover the new inbreaking of God into this world, into our church, into our lives. It's like what God says through the prophet Isaiah, those words that we heard just a few moments ago, I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. Former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Because when we expect to see God at work in the world and in the church and in our lives, when we believe that he is at work in us, we will not be disappointed. Our expectations will be met and exceeded beyond our wildest imaginations. God, you see, is in the business of giving life, renewing life, raising the dead, and we who are dead, dead in our sin and trespasses, we are certainly ready for redemption and resurrection, for good news. God promises us new life, resurrection life for everyone who trusts in Jesus. God, you see, is doing this new thing that's not been done before. And God invites us to be part of that new thing, this new thing in Jesus Christ. God invites us to be part of it by faith. It's sort of like when Paul writes to the Romans, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we expect life, when we go out looking for life, we will certainly, certainly find it. Because after death, always, always, always comes resurrection. People all over the world were deeply saddened by last week's fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, and rightly so. I remember being overwhelmed by it, by the art and the architecture of that sacred space when I was there 20 years ago. But what is even more overwhelming to me then and now is the history of that place. More than 850 years of faithful men and women who have worshiped and prayed and praised God inside those stone walls. The good news is that God's faithful people will continue to worship and to pray and to praise. No fire can stop that from happening. We don't need a building to do that. Buildings come and buildings go, but sometimes we expect them to last forever, and our faith is tried when something like that happens. God is in the business of confounding our expectations. We go looking for death, but God reveals life and gives renewal. With the the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our loving God declares that he is in the business of life. Death has lost its power. Sin is canceled. The grave is empty, and we have no reason to fear it. We heard this morning from Isaiah's vision of that beautiful day when the former things will pass away, when the former things like death will pass away, will no longer come to mind. Where, O death, is your victory? Paul asks. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, Paul proclaims. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Easter day, God is indeed victorious, conquering sin and death. By raising Christ from the grave, God gives us victory as well. Because Jesus has conquered death, we no longer have reason to fear it. It no longer holds power over us. Our Savior has gone ahead of us, just as the pillar of cloud and fire led the Israelites through the wilderness. Jesus guides our steps and leads us to our promised land, our home in God's heavenly kingdom. So imagine again for a moment you're at the empty tomb with the women and your expectations have been shattered and the tomb is empty and you have just heard the good news that Christ is risen. And you hear that question from the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you come to the tomb expecting death when God has promised life? Brothers and sisters, God has turned our expectations upside down. Christ is risen. He is on the loose. The Spirit is at work. All we have to do is open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds. And God will be at work in the world around us, in the church, in our lives, for us to see and feel and know and experience and to participate with him. God invites us to be part of this work, this new thing that he's doing. So where are you looking today? Have you come looking for death, or have you come looking for life? What are your expectations? On this day of resurrection, may we all hold fast to the God who confounds our expectations and who gives us life by faith in Jesus Christ. Come to this table. Come and meet Jesus. Come experience the risen Christ, to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, on this day of resurrection, we gather and we proclaim our faith. We proclaim that the tomb is empty. We don't always understand it, Lord, because it is such strange news. But give us faith, faith to trust and faith to understand, and someday, faith to live eternally with you. In Christ's name, amen.